Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Divide the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Hey guys. Welcome back to our second anniversary of Tech Talking Religion. This is actually our second session. It's good to be back. I told you from the very beginning that they wouldn't be weekly because we have some programming and different things that we need to do on the back end to make sure that this runs smoothly and this becomes a production that we can do perhaps every day. But we need to be able to do the back end work to make it work all together. So here we are. We're back in our second session, and we're going to talk today about something that's a little bit controversial, but it's not, because it's so sensitive that I think that it's not being talked about like it should be, for the sake of controversy, for lack of a better word. So we're going to talk about it. Some guys and myself, we've discussed it among ourselves, and it's something we've been talking about for years because we hear it all the time. And what it's about is a real man. The term "a real man." I know it seems a little silly, but we'll get into it. I've only got 15-minute slot today, so we're going to have to move right along. And we're talking about the fact that everywhere, it's all in blogs. Women are saying it, dime a dozen, a real man would do this, do that. It's in descriptions and dating sites. It's everywhere. All you have to do is talk to a group of women long enough, and you'll get this type of response. Now, the terminology. Now, I'm going to talk particularly about women of faith. Faith being my particular faith, which is a Christian faith. And the reason being is because this is a Christian, religious, not necessarily Christian, but a religious show. And so we always have to incorporate religion because essentially, and I think anybody that's spiritual will agree, everything that really goes on is somehow motivated or produced through the spiritual world. So anyway, we're going to get right to it. because in the Christian, in a little backdrop, in the Christian realm, I'm hearing more and more of my sisters. You definitely have definitively come up and concluded. I think it's subjective to each individual, but it's all the same thing. It's what a real man in their, whatever their subjective definition may be. And so what did we decide to do is take a biblical take at it and look at it really quick and see if we could kind of find some common ground and maybe make some headway or at least provoke some dialogue as moving forward, that maybe next time we talk about this, if we get that kind of response from listeners, we can talk about it and have people call in. I didn't get actually a chance to go other than one place to try to get some call-ins. That didn't particularly work. So we may not have any callers today, but if we don't, people will certainly listen as we disseminate the podcast, and then people will call in and we'll get it done that way. So there are no specific guidelines regulating these kind of matters about what a real man is, not specifically, not comprehensively in the Bible. There's nothing where God says a real man does this and does that. So, but there are some sacred principles that that need to be considered when we assess this issue from a Christian perspective. And the first is headship. God, who is appointed a scale of authority that he's prescribed for mankind. Paul alludes to it in 1 Corinthians 11:2. Pay attention to these scriptures because you can go back later, if nothing else, and look at them yourself, where the Lord speaks through Paul and tells us it specifically. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, that God is the head of Christ. And I could go into all that, but not for this session. Christ is the head of every man, and man is the head of woman. And when Paul is talking about that, and particularly in this particular scripture, he's going on to talk about the authority that God has designated for mankind, which is, in this case, the man is the head of woman. So I'm saying I'm going somewhere with this, so let's stay with me for a minute. So for our present purposes, let's talk about the head. The head of the woman is the man. The Greek term is kephale, K-E-P-H-A-L-E. That's what that word means, head. And the word can be literally be mean, when it's translated in English, a physical head, or metaphorically as a rank. In this particular case, it's talking about a rank, not necessarily a more important rank, but just a spiritual rank for whatever God's reasoning be. There's a word when it talks about the headship of man in 1 Timothy 2:12. In the King James Version, it uses the word usurp when it talks about that a woman needs to submit to her husband and to usurp his authority, how it would be. It's a sinful. Well, that word usurp, that's not a good translation in the King James Bible. The Greek word is authentio, A-U-T-H-E-N-T-E-O, authentio, and it simply means to act authoritatively. So that's what that word is that God is talking about. The head is to act authoritatively. He's given God an authority in the context of the relationship between a man and a woman. And so in the context, it has a reference to spiritual matters. More so than anything else. For example, a woman is not to act in, I mean, I know this is going to open up a can of worms, but this is, the Bible says this, not me. And we could go through it scripture by scripture to try to prove that this is the case. It's as a matter of enlightenment, not necessarily negative debate. But it seems like that God is talking about spiritual matters when you put it in the context of the whole passage. And I'll give an example. A woman is not to act in the capacity as an authority figure over a man in any sort of religious teaching capacity. And the Bible tells us that in very many scriptures. And so in my mind, according to scripture, a woman is not to pastor a church. But that's just me. You know, I'm going out of bounds a little bit, but we're talking about authority. I don't understand how you can have authority at home and then you go to matters that are eternal, spiritual, and the husband is the authoritative one in the house and the woman is the authoritative one in the pulpit. That just doesn't, that doesn't quite ring right with me, but I could be wrong. Even in a home where the husband is to be the head and the wife is to be in subjection, according to Ephesians 5:22, there's a sphere where woman is allowed to exert some authority. In one of his letters, Paul describes that the woman is to rule in the household. You know, the Proverbs 31 woman talks about that, how content a household is because of the diligent work of a woman. So I'm not trying to take away anything. I'm just trying to clarify some things. In this modern world now, there are many instances where a woman might be technically be in a position to have an authority over a man if she was your boss, for instance. There are many examples, you know, I can give, but for today, we're going to talk about specifics. And so what I've just said is like a foundationally to what I really want to get to. And, you know, the definition of a real man. And where I get the definition is a lot of times in volume is from Facebook, other social dating sites. I read it everywhere. I hear it everywhere, this terminology. And the question in my mind is, from a question standpoint, in the minds of those that are making these statements, when the women are making these statements, what guys need to know is, okay, are you trying to educate me to what you know that a real man to be is, and you're trying to enlighten me so that I can be that? Are you trying to inform me to remind me of something that I already knew? Is there any underlying protest? Are you really protesting because, you know, you feel like you've got a lock on what manhood is and you're letting me know because I'm not living up to that. So is this in protest? Is it in ridicule? You know, are you ridiculing my manhood or the way that I'm running this relationship or the way that I'm, you know, the type of work that I'm producing as the male, the boyfriend, the husband, the fiance, or whatever the case may be in this relationship? Or are you trying to edify me? Are you telling me this because this is you subjectively how you feel a real man would react to you? And that's what you're trying to let me know, and so that I can come to understand that and work with that information. So what we need to know is basically, what do you mean? What are you saying, Willis? You know, that's what it all comes down to for us when we hear this type of terminology, because it could be taken a number of ways, but we certainly always want to take it the right way. So we need clarification, ladies. So if you guys could get something to us, that would be great. There are some pretty definitive positions on whose authority these positions are sanctioned by, you know, because when I hear this, I'm always like, who says who? And I, being a Christian man, being a, you know, a godly man, I would have to think that the woman that made the statement, that her statement would be based on what God said rather than what you arbitrarily just jacked up in your mind and felt like that was the supreme answer to what manhood is, either for you or just in general. The Bible never said nowhere that a real man should take out the trash. Where do we get that from? Carry something heavy, work five jobs, you know, while the woman stays home, put something together, repair something that's broken, cut the grass. I remember when I was married to my wife, my first wife, she told me, I'm a carpenter's daughter. You know, I got this. So we'd buy something that needed to be put together, and I would get the tools out and the instructions because I like to read. And she just liked to do, and she would begin to put it together, and she got stuck. I would, you know, we would work through it together, the schematics together. That worked for us. You know, that had nothing, that didn't, you know, like impede on anybody's womanhood or manhood. So who's to say, you know, this same woman that I'm talking about, the trash got full, you know, she would just pick it up and take it out and throw it out. It wasn't that she felt like a man needed to wait to do it. Now, I get it. Some women do. But what I'm saying is, does that denote what a real man is? Because he does or does not do that. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, is it philosophical? Is that where women are getting this from? Is this something that's like intrinsic to the American culture now, you know, since the feminist movement in the 70s? Where did he get this from, man? Dr. Phil? Oprah? You know, who? But these remarks are being broadcast, especially in social media, everywhere. There seems to be an African-American female movement or something to disseminate some propaganda concerning the virtue of a real man. I mean, we are stuck. It's as though the African, you know, African-American woman sort of has like an urban language dictionary that connotes, you know, their understood definition of what the term means to and for them, but we don't have a copy of it, me being guys. So, you know, there's a little bit more I have to say, but I'd only have a little bit more time. But the conclusion here is, until these questions are unanimously discussed and understood among males and females, it's just going to seem to be a continuation of this type of style of delivery. And I'm not sure that it's in the best interest of, you know, promoting positive female-male relationships among African Americans. The biblical interpretation that man is the head of Christ and the head of the woman is man and the head of Christ is God is something that I think we need to absolutely take literally and treat one another that particular way, so that our wives, even though they make this statement, if they're coming from a pure and simple place and they're choosing to edify their mate because of this information they share with them, then that's one thing. But if it says something to tear down rather than build up, it's something that we might want to reconsider and try to use another approach. So, ladies, I'm out of time. I welcome your response to come in at any time and ask that we redo this. The call-in PIN number is 657-383-0908. God bless until the next time. I wanna live on a
make me